Hi, everybody. This is Jeremy. My wife, Candace, and I are the pastors at the Ridge Assembly at Park Hill. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope this message connects with you, that inspires you, reveals God's word of truth in your life. Be encouraged and enjoy the message. Okay, guys, here we go. This is it. I'm kind of excited because we are closing out our first series of the year. We've been talking about stability all the way since the very beginning of January, and this is it. This is the last one. You made it. Congratulations. And as a reward, Caleb's going to preach next week, and so that's great. He's a fantastic preacher. Gives me a break, and then I love hearing him. So he's going to preach next week, and it's going to be fantastic. So you guys come. But this is it. Last week of the series, so I want to do a quick recap and run through these. And it's not just to take up time. It's because important stuff should never be said just one time. If you take a communications class, which I didn't, but stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. But if you take a communications class, they're going to tell you that you need to say important things at least seven times for it to stick, right? Yeah, there was a Microsoft study that actually said that the real number is somewhere between 6 and 20 times. So that's not very precise. But, okay, you need to hear things more than once if it's going to stick, if it's important. And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, stability for this year is very, very, very important. It's an election year in the United States, which means people are going to lose their minds one way or the other. Right? In the Middle East, people are shooting missiles at each other. I don't know how it's going to end. I mean, but I know the end of the book, and I know things are going to get crazier before they get better. And I'm telling you, we, the church, have to have stability in our lives. So, what have we talked about? We talked about having stability in the message. That means not changing the Word of God, because the Word of God doesn't change. So not changing our presentation of the Word of God, no matter what is popular or you know, no matter what society says is good or bad, or culture, you know, can change all at once. But that's fine. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ regarding righteousness and restoration and repentance and all of those things doesn't change. We've got to stabilize our message as a church. Okay, I got to stabilize our environment. That doesn't mean, you know, baby seals and whales and things. That's great. I love baby seals. But I'm talking about stabilizing our environment, having a sanctuary somewhere in our lives where no matter what's going on around us, we can go to a place that is stable and where peace can flow, where we can feel the presence of God, where we feel safe. We've got to have a place like that. And no matter how chaotic the world is out there, in your house or in your room or in your car or in your cubicle, or you can find a place where you can let yourself just go and feel the presence of God. We've got to stabilize our faith. Talked about that one. That one's a tough one. Because you know what? It's really easy to have faith when everything is great. Bunny rabbits and flowers and sunshine and, man, life is good. It's more difficult to have faith in the midst of trials and tribulations, but that's when it really counts. And so if we're going to be steady-handed through our lives, we've got to be ready to stabilize our faith, not based on what's going around us, but what's happening inside of us. We've got to build our faith on the truth of the Word of God, on God's promises and on His power. And He gives us those things for the journey through, not just for the end, right? Last week, we talked about stability in our schedules. Keeping the important things on your calendar. That means all the stuff that's going to grow your spirit man and increase your kingdom influence. And that's what we've talked about so far. Today we're going to end and talk about stability in relationships. Why? Well, because partly we got Valentine's Day coming up. And mostly because the truth is that the most important things in your life revolve around your most precious relationships. Your relationship with God will determine your eternity. That's a big one. Your relationship with your spouse will determine your strength. Your relationship with your kids will determine your legacy. Your relationship with your friends will determine your influence. Your relationship with the lost will determine your spiritual impact. Relationships matter, and they're always under attack, one way or the other. Wednesday's Valentine's Day, hooray. It's also Ash Wednesday. I've joked and said, well, you know, depending on your relationship status, well, you know, that'll dictate which one you celebrate. But the truth is that in the American church, I think we've got to celebrate both. Right? I believe that, you know, Ash Wednesday, I love the concept of Ash Wednesday. Since we're Protestants, we don't really celebrate that very much. But all my dad's family is Catholic, and so, you know, we went to the Catholic church when I was real small, and so we celebrated Ash Wednesday, and the whole idea is to repent in dust and in ashes. And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, our society and even in our church, we need to repent in dust and in ashes for assigning and tolerating a false definition of love. Love in popular culture is limited to self-seeking sensuality. It rejoices in evil rather than rejoices in truth. It's 180 degrees away from what we see in the Word of God and how God defines true love. And I could get on that soapbox and I could stay there for a long time, but I can't, because we've been changed, we've been delivered, we've been set free, and we're different. We've come out from among them to be different. That's what the Lord says, and that's what we've done. And so we get to apply the definition of true love to our relationships. And that's what we've got to talk about stabilizing, because the Bible says that in the last days, lawlessness will abound, and it will abound because the love of many will grow cold. That means the love that people have for God, the love that we have for one another is part of the church, the love that we have for one another as families, and all of those things, guys. So this is it, the last week of our stability series, and I'm reminding us that we've got to stabilize our relationships in light of true love. No matter what's popular, no matter what's pressing, no matter what level of chaos or calamity, we've got to experience true love in our relationships. Not just our marriages, all of the ones that matter the most. So yeah, marriages, absolutely. Relationships between fathers and sons and fathers and daughters and mothers and kids and relationships with your best friends, your accountability partners, whoever it is that you are connected with and you've chosen to lean on as someone that's a rock in your life. Well, those are the kind of things we've got to stabilize in light of true love. And how do we do that? Well, let's see what the Word of God says. 1 John chapter number 4, beginning in verse 7. This whole chapter, 1 John 4, is something that we need to read and digest. I'll read a couple of verses this morning, but the whole thing really describes true love and how we can replicate the love that God has for us. We'll begin reading in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he's given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. I love this passage of Scripture. I love the Bible, but I love this passage of Scripture, right? Because here we see that the love of God is the same love that we can have for other people. And the love that God has for us is without limits. The love that God has for us is unconditional and it's unchanging. In a word, it's stable. No matter what comes against us, the Bible says that God loves us. And no matter what changes in us, the Bible says that God loves us. And there comes a point, ladies and gentlemen, in our lives where the love that we proclaim for someone else has to have the same stability. Now, not every relationship falls into this category. As a matter of fact, I would say 94.2% of all of your relationships don't fall into this category. Right? Most of the relationships we have are conditional. and that's fine. My work relationship is conditional. I get paid on Fridays. If they stop paying me, I promise I will not go on Monday. That's a conditional relationship, right? All of your business dealings are conditional. Your friends, not like your besties, but just your acquaintances, your friends, those are conditional relationships. You're going to hang out as long as you can have fun, right? You're going to hang out as long as you get along. You know, your dating relationships, those are conditional relationships. That's the purpose of dating, right? You haven't made any commitments. You come and you go, and that's fine, right? Most of your relationships in life, the vast majority, are conditional. And it's not worth stabilizing, right? Because you have opportunities to grow and to change, and that's awesome. The relationships bound by love, though, and I'm talking about true love, like the Bible talks about it, those kind of relationships are worth defending and stabilizing. There's not a lot of them, but there's a few of them that are very, very, very important. And it can cover any kind of love, right? Because in English we have kind of one word that covers a lot of different things. But in most languages, there's a lot of different words and nuances to the idea of love, right? You can have romantic love, right, between a husband and a wife or whatever like that. You can have brotherly love. You can have love from parents to kids and kids to parents. And the list goes on. There's different kinds. But these kind of relationships, and there's not very many, they're the backbone of society. They're keys to us living in fullness. And ladies and gentlemen, they've got to be protected. They've got to be shielded from turbulence and all the decay of the world around us. We've got to stabilize them. We've got to stabilize our most important, most precious relationships in light of true love, loving like God loved us. Okay, cool. So how do we do this? I got a treat for you today. It's a 2-point sermon. Okay, so you get one off, right? This is like a 33% off sale. Okay, 2-point sermon. How do we do this? Well, there's two types of assaults that come against our relationships, so we've got a couple of answers for these, right? Number one, we've got to overcome disturbances from within. These are things in our hearts that keep us from loving other people like God loves us. Now, again, go home. We got several hours before the Super Bowl starts. You got plenty of time to read all of 1 John chapter number 4. So that is your homework. You can handle that. In there, you're going to see that God has a crazy love for us that is unconditional and 100% unselfish. It's unconditional because we're created in His image and He has committed to love us so much that nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. He is committed. He's created us like we're the apple of His eye. It's unconditional. It's unselfish. Read the whole thing. But it turns out that in 1 John 4, we see that even before there was any hope of us having a relationship with God, He chose to die for us. He chose to die for us knowing that there was no guarantees that we would choose Him. He's not getting anything out of it. When we gather around and we worship Him, that doesn't make Him bigger. Right? When we serve Him, that doesn't make Him more powerful. He loves us not expecting anything in return. It's unconditional and it is 100% unselfish. So how can we project that kind of love onto our most important relationships? Well, I tell you, this is decided love. It's because of the commitment. How do we project this kind of love? It's decided love because of our commitments that we've made. Maybe it's to husbands and wives or spouses, right? Maybe it's to our kids because that's a commitment. Maybe it's to our parents. Maybe it's to our best friends or our accountability partners, whatever it is. But it's decision. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, we're commanded, Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. All your heart, all your soul, all your strength. That means with all your emotions, all your understanding, and all your decisions. A lot of times I'll tell Candace, I love you with all of my heart. Oh, how sweet. But that's incomplete. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, right? With all your emotions, with all of your understanding, and with all of your decisions. It's not enough to feel love inside of us. We have to approach the point where God, like where God is, where it is unconditional and it is unselfish. And it's especially easy for us to become self-focused when life gets turbulent. When things get crazy in the world around us, we have this survival mechanism as human beings where we start looking only inside of ourselves and we get more and more focused, and that's just self-preservation and that's just human nature. The problem with that is that stands in contrast to the kind of love that God wants us to have one for another. The kind of love that chooses to love people like God chooses to love us. And that means that when we have that kind of choice, it means that we can be disappointed without being offended. Because now we're choosing love, right? I've got disappointment in my heart. That's an emotion. But I've made this commitment to love somebody. I made a commitment to raise my kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I made a commitment to take care of my parents. I made a commitment to whatever it is. So yeah, I'm disappointed, but I'm not offended. Because I can choose. I can feel disappointment, but I can choose offense. And I'm not going to choose offense. We can disagree because we're people, but I'm not going to be disagreeable. Because I'm going to choose not to do that. We can be hurt. Because that's an emotion. And the people that you love the most can hurt you the most. You can be hurt. But you can't allow unforgiveness. Because that's a choice. You can be heard without yelling. You can tell the truth without being unkind. You can pursue your goals without being selfish. The human heart is evil. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, it'll wreck your relationships. It'll wreck your relationships time and time again through selfishness. And that is contrary to the nature of love that we read about in 1 John 4. The nature of God's love to us is 100% unselfish. There's nothing in that pure love that He has for us that is self-seeking. And I'm convinced personally that the number one cause of divorce has nothing to do with infidelity or anything else. A lot of it's just selfishness. And I know every situation is different, so no shade on anybody. But I genuinely believe that the collapse of relationships, whether they're friends or even parents to kids, or certainly, you know, husbands to wives, the collapse of those relationships is spurred on by selfishness. And so when we say something like, "I love you with all of my heart," well, that's incomplete. Because then sometimes in our heart, we find that there are things living that don't belong. So it's not just your heart, it's your heart, your soul, and your strength. That's the way God commands us to love Him. That's the way that He loves us. It starts in your heart, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes there's an enemy within, and we've got to overcome that. We've got to master, we've got to still our heart to stabilize our most important relationships, okay? So the number one thing that you're going to face, okay, the attacks of, I'm telling you, as our society, as your life becomes unstable and turbulent, it's going to start chipping away at your relationships. And one of the ways it's going to start doing that is by messing with your own heart. So you've got, as children of God, okay, what we've got to do is separate a little bit that emotion from our decisions and our commitments. This goes for your best friend, anybody that you got to do life with, right? Your best friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe if you're like almost engaged-ish, whoever you've committed to and you made that decision, that's how you preserve these relationships. Okay, so first thing that happens, first onslaught is inside of us, and we overcome that. Second onslaught is what happens around us. So if we overcome disturbances within, great. We also have to overcome disturbances against us from without. It's the stuff outside of your relationship that starts chipping it away and breaking it down. Okay? Because here's the thing. As you partner with someone and you go through life together, what happens out there eventually comes in. Now, sometimes the big one is what starts happening in your own heart. We talked about that. That's how you get away from that with the choice, right? But the truth is that the more things that are happening out there, the more difficult it is to stay on the same page and make sure your relationship's going in the right direction. And stuff outside tries to break it down. And there's so many attacks on your most important relationships, right? It's impossible to list them all. Some come from your own life. Just busyness. Some come from attacks of the enemy because, you know what, I believe that in the last days that the enemy is going to double down trying to destroy some of the frameworks of our lives and our society, and that's going to start by crumbling the home, right, whether it's relationship with your kids or whatever else. I 100% believe that there is an all-out assault, so there's no possible reason that I can list all of the assaults, but you know what, I don't want to glorify the problem, I want to glorify the solution. I'll tell you the solution. If you want to make it through, you've got to be on the same page. You got to be in tune with one another. So I was thinking about this the other day, and you know, a lot of times when I start service, I'll pray and I'll say, God, would you tune our ears to hear what you've got to say. Some of you guys are of a certain vintage, like me, where we had a dial on a radio where you could tune the radio, right? And it turns out that there's all kinds of radio signals all, like, there's just coming at you all the time, but it's whatever you hear is what you're tuned to. And so a lot of times when we get ready to start service, I'll say, God, would you tune our hearts to hear what you've got to say? And what that means is, let us focus only on you. I want to hear what you're saying. I'm focused and I'm receiving from you. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that if you want to preserve your most precious relationships, if you want to stabilize those against all the other noise, you've got to be in tune with one another so that you can hear each other no matter what's going on. A long time ago, when I was in college, I had to learn about frequency and harmonics, and, you know, to make sure that you don't build something that will vibrate itself to death. And I know a lot of music people, you know about the harmonic thing. I'm not one of those people. I'll stick with physics, okay? But if you have two things that are in tune, if you can picture two guitars, right, that are in tune with one another, then you can have all kinds of noise, but when that right note is played, it'll transfer that energy and start making the other thing vibrate, right? That's the idea of harmonics. You got to watch out for it when you're building mechanical structures. But when we're talking about our relationships, what you find out that if you're in tune with one another, not only are you able to hear each other, but don't cancel out a lot of the other noise. Because a lot of the other noise just doesn't make it vibrate. It doesn't get the job done. You can have a crazy schedule. You can have things to be nuts at work. You can just face so many trials and tribulations and obstacles and just busyness, and it wants to eat away at your relationship. But if you're in tune with one another, if you're tuned the same way, then the vibrations in one will start vibrations in the other because you're in two. Say, great, Pastor Jeremy, thanks for the physics lesson. How does this work in my relationship? You've got to stay in tune with one another. How's the easiest way to do that? Well, if you're tuned to like a standard, for instance, if you're tuned, let's say you both say, okay, God, today I'm going to tune to hear you. I'm going to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And if you're in tune with God, then all of a sudden you're in tune with each other. I'm convinced that that's why the book of Ecclesiastes says that two may be overpowered and two can defend themselves and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. He's talking about partnerships and relationships right here on earth. And he says, okay, there's two of you, but then a cord of three strands is not easily broken, because all of a sudden we bring in God into our relationships and we tune to that standard. And that means that no matter what else happens, that if I'm in tune with God and Candace is in tune with God, then we're in tune with each other. If me and my best friend, we're both in tune with God, then all of a sudden we're in tune with each other. Tune. Talk about your plans and your hopes. Talk about these things so you become in tune with each other. You talk about your visions. You talk about your calling. These are those late night conversations that you can't replace, where you open up your heart to somebody. Suddenly your heart becomes in tune. It's easier to have empathy. It's easier to share. You grow. You encourage each other in truth. And these things happen. And as you're encouraging in truth, then you're tuning yourselves one to another, and you're constantly calibrating, right? Little things all the time. You're making sure that you're always walking in step with one another. And guys, this is so very important. Marriage is absolutely, but and kids too. And your parents, your best friends, whatever is sacred, whatever relationships trying to be defined by true love. Stay on the same page. Stay in tune with one another. And the turbulence that goes on out there, it's just going to be noise. It's not going to affect you. Because you're not in tune with the noise. You're in tune with each other and you're in tune with God. So, stabilizing relationships. You know, I don't necessarily like preaching about relationships because, you know, it's kind of crazy, especially stabilizing one, because, you know what, most of them, again, you know, I forgot what statistic I made up earlier, but it was like 94.2, I forgot. The vast majority of relationships you don't want to stabilize, because you need to have room to grow. You've got to have room to cut people off that are trying to pull you in the wrong direction. You got to have room to let your life move. And you get older and your preferences changes and you change cities and you change jobs and kids move out and life changes, okay? And you can let those things go. But there are some. There are very few, but there are some relationships where you want to apply true love. And for those, guys, it's not okay for the turmoil of our lives or the onslaught of the enemy or whatever else to shape those most important relationships. It's not okay to be found without giving or receiving unconditional love. It's not okay to live feeling alone or out of tune with those that you should be in step with, your husband, your wife, your siblings, the church, whatever it is. It's not okay. So we got to fight for our most precious relationships and shield them against the shaking. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We invite you to be part of our online community by subscribing to this podcast. Also, follow us on social media at The Ridge Assembly PH on Facebook and Instagram. If you live in the Central Arkansas area, we certainly invite you to be part of our live community. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at the Old Park Hill Elementary Building. That's at 3801 JFK Boulevard in North Little Rock. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.